Please be seated for our sermon today, Mr. Scriber.
It's such a good day today. A good January in Phoenix. We had a really good time last Sabbath in Albuquerque. And the members in Albuquerque said, "We don't see you enough. We need to see you more often." I said, "Sorry. I don't know what to do, but I love being with you. I love being with them." And in the 30th, I'll be in Yuma again. And so anyway, we'll do the best we can. And I just love one another and feel the needs for our fellowship and spiritual development by being there for one another. So doesn't rely on the ministry. It relies on God. In Phoenix, Northern area, we went through the youth lessons last year, and it was a really fun series of lessons. It was on the topic of creation and our creation and our relationship with God. And we went through and discussed God's wonderful days of creation and what they mean to us personally. We're now, as you've noticed, on the last day of creation, the seventh day, the Sabbath. We want to talk about the Sabbath day as a day of creation and what it means, but to do so, let's get context. Let's see what the context of the Sabbath is. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. To understand why we have the Sabbath, why it's important, why God made it one of the Ten Commandments, and even put a greater emphasis on this day of creation than the rest of the days of creation, we read Matthew 25 and verse 31, and it said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne," that time we're all looking forward to. And verse 32 says, "Before Him will be gathered all nations." So there will be a time when all people will have a chance to come before Him to be judged in their time. But notice it says, verse 34, "Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come you who are blessed of My Father.'" The people who are introduced into His kingdom as His children, He said, are blessed specifically of God. There's a blessing that He gives to us. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, God had a plan to bring children into His family, and He began that plan with creating an environment for human beings so that in His plan, we could progress towards inheriting the kingdom of God. And so in order for us to be a part of the kingdom of God, we had to live out physical human lives. And in order for us to be able to inherit the kingdom, He blessed us with certain things. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we see from the foundation of the world when He blessed us, when He made the kingdom for us from the foundation of the world. Let's go back to that foundation of the world as it relates to mankind and us being here on earth and what God made for us. We look at these days of creation, and they're not just something interesting that happened, but each one was done for us, for with mankind in mind, to become His children one day. You look at verse 3. It said God called the light day and darkness night, so evening and morning were the first day. So He created evening and morning. How many of you like evening and morning? Well, you usually like evening because that's the time to go to bed. Now, some of you have different schedules and so forth, but then morning comes and morning brings another day. Evening is a time for you so you can rest, so you can rejuvenate. And He made morning, He made evening. He made light and day because man needs that cycle of day and night. Happens every day. And if it didn't, we wouldn't exist. Unless God would have made us different. But he made us this way. He made us to adapt to the way he created things. Verse 6, the second commandment, the second day of creation, God separated the water on the earth's surface from the atmosphere. It was very muggy in some way, and then he separated the atmospheres and then the waters and made an atmosphere in between so that you could breathe air and all of the things that the atmosphere involves. So you could receive rain from the heavens. So you would have the waters on the earth for all of those things that are necessary. So man needs the atmosphere, the rain, the clouds, the air. He made it for us so we could live, so we could exist, so that we could live our lives and one day be a part of the kingdom. Number 3 in verse 9, God separates the surface waters from the land masses and then caused plants to grow. And in some of the things we went through talking about creation, we saw some of these videos and studied some about the perfect balance of the earth. And the waters of the sea are just the right depth and just the right amount, and the land mass is just right. And any variation of that, we couldn't exist. And so God made everything just right so we could exist. So we could live, so we could prosper. He made the plants because that way we can have oxygen and we can have food. It's just so wonderful. And he did it from the foundation of the world for you, so to prepare us for the kingdom. Number 4, in verse 14, he said, God said, let the lights in the firmament of the heavens divide the day from the night. So the atmosphere cleared further. And then we were able to see the sun, the moon, and the stars from which man plants his crops, from which we see the seasons. We were able to worship God because he sets these things in motion so we can have the holy days and so forth. So he gives us those things, and he did it for us, for our benefit. Man needed the sun, the moon, and the stars to serve people so that we could exist again. Number 5, on the fifth day of creation, he made the fish, verse 20, the fish and the birds. He made this delicate balance between the ocean and the skies. Man needs the fowl of the air. Man needs bees in the air. All of those things that cause the world to go around in that great balance that he made. And the seas, he made fish, made plankton. We studied some about plankton and some of its benefits. And you just look at all these benefits that God made, these things that make the earth what it is for you, mankind. Verse 24, on day 6, he made the animals, and then he made man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the heavens, over every living thing that moves on earth. You know, mankind ends up worshiping the animals, and God said the animals are there for our benefit, and we are to have dominion over them and to handle them properly and with respect and grateful that God made them there for our purpose, not to abuse, but yet certainly not to worship them and put them on a higher level than man, as too many often do. But he gave them there for us to have dominion over for our use. They're a blessing. And it goes on, verse 29, to say, God said, behold, I have given you every plant bearing seed. I've given you the plants. I've given you this for your benefit. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, forget not all of his benefits. Now, I give this as a background for this commandment that we're studying now this month called the Sabbath. this day of creation, this seventh day that God made for the same reason, for our benefit. You look at every day of creation, you can see it as a benefit. The seventh day is the same thing. It's a benefit for man, made for the children of God. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw everything he had made. Behold, it was very good. It was evening and morning, the sixth day. And chapter 2, verse 1, the heavens and earth were finished and the host of them. And verse 2, then on the seventh day, God finished his work. He culminated it. He was done working, but now he made something else. He made the Sabbath day as a day of creation. He made it for man's benefit from the foundation of the world. It goes on to say, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. In verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He did a day of creation. He made the Sabbath day holy. He made it special. He made it for you, for mankind, for their benefit. And he made it holy because on it he rested from his work which he had done in creation. You know, we're told that man is created in his image. We're to be like him. He rested. He made this day special. He made it for us. So should we not do what he did to follow his example? Of course we should. We'll talk about that more in part two next, probably next week. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. So we see here that God creates something else for man. It's angering, it's maddening, it's confusing when man says, "Oh, the Sabbath doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't really care about the Sabbath." It does not blend with Scripture well at all. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man." For man's benefit, for man's welfare. If we look at it as a benefit and a blessing, we see why he made it and then what it should mean to us. And he said he didn't make man for the Sabbath. Christ was answering the Pharisees who had set up these strict rules and said, well, you got to follow this, you got to do it this way. And man's going around and their life is geared around doing these things that the Pharisees added to the Sabbath. Rather than realizing the Sabbath is there for a benefit, and when you properly keep it, it blesses you. And the Sabbath was made for man, for man's benefit, not just for something to do or something to tie man down with, but to benefit him with. And then verse 28 says, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And as the Pharisees were trying to set their rules and their regulations on Sabbath keeping, he said, no, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, not you. Okay? Let's see why the Sabbath was made, and then let's keep it according to why it was made, for the blessing for anyone who will keep it. Now, again, mankind takes it and says, well, the Sabbath is made for man. That means that I can do anything I want with it. What if you said that to the atmosphere? Well, the atmosphere was created, and since it was made for me, then I think I'll change it. Would make no sense. It's the same thing when people say, well, I'll change the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath was made for man, for man's benefit, and it's not up to you to change. The Sabbath is about God. The Sabbath is about God's glory and further his relationship with you. It's about a relationship and our getting close to God. Psalm 19, verse 1, I'll just quote it, said, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. In other words, creation proclaims God's glory. It's about God. It's about a relationship with God. Going through this series on creation, it just, again, it gets me excited. And it really draws you close to God because you see His power and you see His detail and His love and concern and care for what He has done. Scripture further says, the heavens declare His righteousness. If you want to get to know God, get to know creation. In fact, it says that specifically. We'll turn there in a moment. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Now we know that today mankind has this idea that everything evolved. And so they do away with creation altogether. They're not going to get to know God if they deny Him as the Creator. You're not going to get to know God if you deny Him in any one of His days of creation and the benefit that each gives, and especially the Sabbath, because He made it special. Let's notice again, Revelation 14, verse 16. It's a lot like we read in Matthew 25. Good News Translation in Revelation 14, 6 says, "And I saw another angel flying high in the air with the eternal message of good news to announce to the peoples of the earth, to every race, tribe, language, and nation." And so we're looking forward to the time when all people will have a chance to know and to understand who God is and what He's done and what His plan is, and then to be a part of that plan. Okay, so we're setting that stage here. In order for mankind to be a part of His kingdom, He goes back again to the foundation of the world that was all done for us. You've got to understand God as Creator. Verse 7, "He said in a loud voice, 'Honor and praise His greatness, for the time has come for Him to judge all people.'" And in order for people to be judged and deemed worthy to be a part of the kingdom of God, they have to recognize Him as Creator. Because it says, "Worship Him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water." So if you're going to worship God, you got to recognize Him as Creator. You have to know that He made all things, and He made all things for mankind to be a part of His family. And we find the Sabbath also declares His glory, His righteousness. And that is what people will have to accept, is that seventh day, the Sabbath, recognizing Me as Creator. God, You made this day. I didn't know that. I always thought Sunday was Your day. The Pope told us that Sunday is the day to worship. And others told us that it didn't matter which day we worship on, that we can pick it. And God says, no, You recognize Me as the Creator of all days and all of the days of creation and His Sabbath. Again, man tries to do away with the Sabbath as if it weren't important. Which of the other 6 days of creation would you feel comfortable doing away with and not recognizing God's power over? Animals. So we have no animals. We have no sea. We have, you wouldn't do away with any of the other days of creation, but we do away with the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, for man's benefit. In what ways does proper Sabbath observance benefit mankind, for those who will keep it? In what ways does the Sabbath benefit you? Go ahead, I know you know some of the ways at least. Go ahead, don't be afraid. Yes? Learning. What's that? Learning. God made the Sabbath, and one of the reasons for the Sabbath is learning more about God and His way. What other reasons? Yes, sir? Discipline. And what do you mean by that? Okay, discipline, in a lot of ways that could be. I mean, even in working and then taking that day off instead of just working every day. We were at dinner last night, and the host, in his prayer over the meal, said something along the line of, God, thank you for the Sabbath. If it wasn't for you establishing the Sabbath, we'd just continue going on our way and wouldn't carve out the time that you demand of us for our relationship. And that's really true. It takes discipline to follow God in a lot of ways. Yes.
Rest.
It says specifically rest. Now, part two, this is part one. This part one is the Sabbath was made for man. Part two is going to be the Sabbath of rest. We're going to talk about that and several interesting things. So we'll get to that. Yes. Opportunity to gather together to fellowship. I mean, we're seeing there are a lot of benefits. Well, let's continue on and look at some of those specific benefits that he lists as we're looking at the Sabbath. Just added that this morning, but Isaiah 56 verse 2, God says, I will bless those who always observe the Sabbath and do not misuse it. God says specifically there is a blessing that comes from observing the Sabbath. So let's talk about some of those blessings. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. When he talks about the Sabbath day in the context here, that he made it one of the commandments, it's not only this wonderful day of creation made for our benefit, but it's a commandment. He says, hey, it's not just a good idea. It's essential if you're going to have a relationship with me. And it's for your benefit. It starts off in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, even the reminder is a blessing. It's kind of like, you know, there's a reminder going off. Okay, your smartphone says time to leave for, you know, the Temple Emmanuel for services, right? If you're keyed in that way. You know, mine tells me it's time to go to Albuquerque and time to go to, tells me, my smartphone tells me where to go real often. And I feel like returning the favor, but reminders are good, right? If you have a certain pill that helps your physical health, remember to take your pill. Remember to eat your vegetables. Okay, reminders are good. You know, your mother reminds you to eat your vegetables. Remember to pick up your paycheck. Be a very good idea. Oh yeah, I need that money. Reminders. And God gives us a reminder. It's a blessing to have that reminder. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 14, it says, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Okay, the Sabbath is holy to you. Keeping things that God made holy is good for us. If you entered into a marriage contract and you went before God, and God blessed that marriage, the marriage was holy, it was set aside, it was special. And when we conduct ourselves properly in a marriage relationship, it is a blessing to us. Keeping things holy that God made holy gives us a blessing. Even our physical bodies, just a little diversion here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. You know, when we keep things holy that God made holy, we can't make something holy, but God does make it holy. When we keep it holy as God made it, it's good for us. Physical, mental, moral, spiritual health. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, New Living Translation says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And he goes on to say in verse 19, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. God made us to eventually become his children and take care of it, even sexually in our minds and in our actions. If we keep it holy, we keep it like he says to keep it, it will bless us. If we don't do what he says, you know, people get diseases and pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies and broken marriages and all those things. When you don't keep something holy, God says to keep holy, it has consequences. If you keep it holy as God says to keep it holy, it has blessings. And that's what I'm saying about the Sabbath. Verse 20, this is in 1 Corinthians 6 again, says, "For God bought you with a price, so you must honor God with your body." So when it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, there's an automatic benefit and blessing that goes to you. Because God built that into us, just like he did in our bodies, in physical, mental, moral. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. Exodus 20 verse 9 says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Well, one part of the Sabbath is that the Sabbath is that special day of rest after you have worked. And so the implication is that, well, you work and then you earn the Sabbath. Okay, you earn the blessing of the Sabbath. And working is good. Now, retirement's good too, and there are times that we don't work if you're physically unable and that type of thing, of course. But basically, work 6 days. Be a good employee or a good employer. Be a productive individual. Okay, and again, retire when it's time. But 6 days will you work. Working hard or properly is you provide for the family. That's a good, it's a blessing. Provide for yourself. That's good. That's a blessing. Provides for others when you tithe. That's a good and it's a blessing, right? So blessings come from working. 6 days shall you work. Proverbs 16:26 says the worker's hunger helps them because their desire to eat makes them work. Okay. Working is good. Exodus 20 verse 10 in the last part. It says in it, "You shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger in your gates." He says, regarding this Sabbath, that you work and the people around you work, but there's a day of rest. Give them the rest also. Following God's Sabbath commandments and keeping it properly, you give those that are around you the day off too. So there, okay. Well, I'm taking the Sabbath off, but these guys got to go out in the field and harvest my crop. You know, these guys got to do my work. So I won't give them the day off. No, God says give everybody the day off, right? Taking care of those in your family, in your employee, it's good for them, and thus it's good for you. You can do studies. I mean, it's been well proven that employers that take care of their employees benefit the employees, benefit themselves, benefit the company. I just took one thing in a website called Biz Filings, June 18th, 2013, in this one article here. Says studies consistently show that employees value fringe benefits such as time off more than the amount of pay they receive. Okay, people like the time off. Now they like the money too, and that's certainly a part of it. But the time off. Well, why? Why do you need time off? Why don't you just work all the time? It's not good for you to just work all the time. God built that into mankind. This article goes on to say benefits such as paid vacations can make a difference. Refreshed and recharged employees are likely to be more productive and focused. Well, just said what God says about the Sabbath. You and your son, your daughter, your male and manservant, and those that are in your care, even your animals. Now, you don't have control over your kids if they're not in the church and that type of thing. Is that what I'm saying? Don't try. But those that are under your purview, give them the day off, and it'll pay off. Vacations. Oh, we've got feast days that we have to go to. I haven't done a little study about how many vacation days God commands us to take off for the feast days, but he says, you take off, you go to the feast. You take off, you keep the Sabbath. And the result is going to be good for you because you're being rejuvenated and recharged. There's a benefit. It's a biblical principle. Another article said all the benefits of taking time off can improve the bottom line for the company. Can improve the bottom line for your family if you're properly observing the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth and sea and all that is in them. He said, you keep the Sabbath because God made the heavens and the earth and sea. I did creation, God says. And I want you to keep the Sabbath because I did creation. In other words, it's part of the reason we keep the Sabbath is to give us time to reflect on God, the Creator, the all-powerful God, the designer, with all the marvelous things that He did. The more we reflect on Him as our Creator, the Sustainer, the Lawgiver, the more we understand God. And so part of your Sabbath should be reflecting on the things that He has done and made. Part of it's your family. And it doesn't just have to be out in the wilds or whatever, or looking at the sun and moon and stars. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. We've got the Sabbath as a weekly memorial of creation, as a time to get to know God. And God specifically says that when you reflect on creation, when you understand who He is and who you are, it will build your relationship with God. Let's read that in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. The New Living Translation says, they know the truth about God because He's made it obvious to them. These scientists that claim it all just happened and appeared all at once, they really got to know better deep down inside. And when you just look at the surface of creation even, you see that God is the Creator. Verse 20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities. We can also see God through the Sabbath. And we'll talk more about that next week too. Says His eternal power and His divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. When we look to God as Creator and we take the Sabbath to reflect on that, we get to know God, it says, if we're doing it properly. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20 and the last part of verse 11. It says, the Lord made heavens and earth and so forth, and He rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Again, He rested. When we follow His example, that's a good thing. Okay? But then He blessed it and hallowed it. He said He rested, but then He did something along the spiritual aspect too. It wasn't just a day to kick back and, why are you here instead of at home sleeping? Or laying by the pool. I mean, you could be doing something, really getting some rest. Some of you are. I mean, even here, but that's beside the point. But he said, why? Well, God did something spiritual. He made it holy. He hallowed it. He blessed it. He set it aside as special. So He rested on that day and He made it a spiritual thing, a blessing for people, for mankind. He made it for man. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Another place where He talks about the Sabbath. In verse 13. Exodus 31:13, New Living Translation says, tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep My Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. He says the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant, and it goes on to say it's given so that you may know I am the Lord who makes you holy. Now, you keep the Sabbath, you're keeping it properly. It says, and that Sabbath is a sign of a covenant that you do what I say and I make you holy. He makes the Sabbath holy, and he makes you holy because you come under his covenant. He makes you a part of him. Verse 14, so you must keep the Sabbath day, for it's a holy day for you, for our benefit. I read a blog by Tony Robbins. Now, Tony Robbins, those of you that know him, is a motivational speaker, and there's all kinds of interesting things, but he said this in this blog. It's entitled, The Meaning of Life, Finding Your True Identity. Now, God says the Sabbath is a sign between you and him. He marks you as special. God gives us an identity with the Sabbath. And generally, when somebody asks you, well, what's different about your church? One of the first things you go to is, well, we keep the Sabbath, when you're talking with a person wanting to know about your beliefs. Well, one reason you do that is because very few people do it, but it's also a sign, and it identifies you with God from God's perspective, with we keep the Sabbath properly. So an identity is very necessary, and it lets us know who we are. You're the people of God, you're holy. It lets us know that God values us. I set you aside as special. It lets us know our future. And so the Sabbath gives us this identity. That's why, you know, Tony Robbins, when he says, the meaning of life, finding your true identity. Robbins says, identity is the strongest force in human personality. I didn't study to see if that's a true statement or not, but I would say that identity is at least a very strong force in human personality. He says we all have a deep and abiding need to remain consistent with how we define ourselves. Any transformation you make within yourself will depend on your ability to expand this identity. By building a new, empowering set of beliefs, you can create lasting transformation within yourself and your life. He says, find an identity and that will drive who you are. You know, when God says the Sabbath is a sign, and all things, other things considered, it's not just keeping the Sabbath, but obviously your relationship with Jesus Christ and repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit. But it's a part of it. It gives us identity and drives everything we do because we have a relationship with God. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, another place where it discusses the Sabbath and some of the benefits. Again, it is a Sabbath of rest, and we'll discuss this concept of rest next time in detail. But it's not just a meaning, find a comfortable couch, find a hammock, and then you'll be keeping the Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3, and some of you mentioned this earlier on. Leviticus 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. You know, God says, okay, but people have the things they do. They got their holidays. They got their sacred days of Ramallah and Ramada and all kinds of stuff. But he said, these are my days. So the Sabbath and holy days help us focus on what matters to God. And if you care what matters to God, then you will keep his feasts. He says, these feasts are my feasts, and they're done for you. Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It's a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So he says this is a special rest, the solemn rest. It's the word Sabbath kind of twice. It's a really special, it's very special type of rest, not just a sleeping type of rest, a spiritual rest. And then he says the holy convocation. That's the King James Version, the New International Version says it's a sacred assembly. New Living Translation, an official day for holy assembly. Good News Translation, gather for worship. New Century Version, it's a day for a holy meeting. The Net Bible, it's a holy assembly. Do we get the point? I mean, even all these translations said the Sabbath is a day of rest and a day of holy assembly. Why? Well, assembly is done for the benefits of man. What are the benefits of assembly? Fellowship. Okay. What else? Benefits of assembly. Yes, sir. Encouraging one another. Absolutely. You can't be there to encourage one another if you're not there. Okay. What else? Yes. Teaching one another. Okay, we've got a lot of the benefits. And God tells us we have specific benefits about learning God's way. And whether it's from teaching one another, whether it's being taught from the pulpit or whatever. On Nehemiah chapter 8, here is one of the holy days that they gather on. Nehemiah 8 verse 1 says, now all the people gathered together as one person in the open square. Verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. And so the people assembled on this holy day. What did they do? Read from the Word of God. It was about getting closer to God, our relationship with Him and with one another. Chapter 8, verse 7 says, and they, these people that were speaking helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book and in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So they assembled together to help us understand more about God and God's way and God's, the book. And to understand who He is and who we are and what a relationship with Him is. It's also a time for love and good works and exhorting one another. And that's good for man. This will be my last scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. No, he doesn't say, you know, well, as time gets closer, you know, you stay home and read your Bible, you know, and just draw closer to me by just reading the scripture and learning Greek and Hebrew and, you know, getting, amassing knowledge. Yes, study should be done daily. Study should be done all the time. But, it says Hebrews 10 verse 24, let's consider one another. In order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, and how do you stir up love and good works? He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, it becomes more and more of a value and a benefit to us all. If we are there for one another and we assemble to do that. Now, there are people that aren't able to make it. And, Maddie Hobbs went out in the middle of Nevada or what is this? Arizona, New Mexico, wherever she was. 100 years old, she couldn't make it. She listened on the radio every Sabbath, although she didn't assemble. Well, that happens. And sometimes the family will go up to and camp out and spend time with the family and not be here, you know, 52 weeks a year or whatever, but your life is centered around God. Your life is centered around the command to be with one another as the body of Christ. And that should be our norm. In our marriage seminar, we talk about trust. And in a Wall Street Journal article I read, it's April 27th, 2012, it's called "Oxytocin Influences How We Form Relationships." And I think it was interesting. We talk about the benefit of the Sabbath and the benefit of relationships and assembling together. There's a chemical that God built into the body that when we have certain interactions, things happen, and a lot of different chemicals. But this one called oxytocin is kind of a relationship chemical that God built in. And when we follow his command about assembly, then the physical thing that he built in kicks in. It says this in that Wall Street Journal article. He says, "The experiments I have conducted show that many group activities, singing, dancing, and praying, cause the release of oxytocin and promote connection and caring." He said, being properly keeping the Sabbath and assembling and having our attitudes right and interacting with one another, even in the singing, in the praying, and the interaction we have with one another, causes a chemical release of oxytocin which promotes proper interaction. And then we add God's Spirit, you know, which is the real trust elixir and the chemical elixir that causes these things to happen. Then we're really being blessed. Another article on oxytocin says oxytocin fosters generosity. And so we assemble together, and one of the benefits of it is releasing oxytocin, and it releases generosity. It improves social skills. It eases stress. It solidifies relationships, promotes attachment. Even just a physical sense of things we do when we obey God causes blessings. And then, of course, the spiritual blessings especially, and God's Spirit working in us. Again, Isaiah 56, verse 2 says, "I'll bless those who always observe the Sabbath and do not misuse it." The Sabbath was made for man as a blessing for man. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and God will keep you holy.